over the past 8 years, DHS has definitely struggled to deploy new technologies. They've had a difficult time making sure programs had clear requirements. They've had some challenges in completing testing and evaluation before they purchased some things, and they hadn't always done cost-benefit analysis before going forward with spending lots of taxpayer dollars.
The sound of it, at least on the surface, is that they are still in the mode that was understandable, I guess, when the agency was first stood up. We need stuff to meet our mission. We need to do the things to get the things that we need as quickly as possible. But 8 years out, I imagine that's quite a different story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's certainly always a continuing need to get new technologies out there to meet Homeland Security needs. But that has to be balanced by ensuring you have the proper systems and processes in place to make sure taxpayer dollars are being spent appropriately and efficiently.
All right. I want to ask you about each of the three challenges that you identified in your testimony. The first one was developing technology program requirements. Now, to be fair, DHS certainly isn't the only agency that struggles there, right?
No, not by a long measure.
What are some of the issues, though, that DHS in particular is experiencing when it comes to setting requirements?
Well, in some cases, it's a problem of not clearly defining what's needed by the system. So, for example, SBINet, which is a system they're deploying along the southwest border to track people coming across the border, it was constantly shifting. They had a hard time coming up with a clear bottom line of what they wanted specifically from the program. And when it's constantly shifting like that, it's difficult to make decisions on what specifically to buy.
Where is that shifting coming from? Maybe not necessarily specifically in the SBINet case, but generally overall, and whether you're speaking particularly DHS or more broadly to other federal agencies, because that's something that I hear all the time, both from the vendors and from GAO and even from the agency sometimes. They will admit, we weren't sure what we wanted, and I wonder what drives that, how dramatically a mission can change during the process.
Well, I think you're right. In each specific case, it may vary, but as a general overlying principle, oftentimes there's a disconnect between the people that are developing the technology and the people that are actually going to use it in the real world. So in other words, you know, the scientists and technologists who are coming up with a new particular gizmo may find a way to have it work extremely well in a laboratory environment, but when they try to put it in a real-world environment where the people are actually going to use it, it may not work. Or the operators come up with new things that they really require to make it work in a real-world setting.
All right. The second challenge that you identified in your testimony was conducting and completing testing and evaluation of technologies, and it sounds like that's what you're referring to there just a moment ago, that what works in a lab or in a testing environment doesn't always translate to real life.
That's absolutely the case. And in some cases, DHS, in an effort to get technologies out prematurely, bypass some of the testing requirements that are contained in their own regulations and requirements. And as a result, they purchase things that didn't work, and that's a big problem.
The third challenge that you identified is incorporating information on costs and benefits in making technology acquisition decisions. And I have to admit, this one seems like kind of a no-brainer. You want to see an ROI before you figure out whether it's worth it to go ahead with an acquisition.
No, absolutely. You definitely want to make sure you have that return on investment. And, you know, there are cases where the program offices with their abiding interest in getting the program completed and deployed were kind of pushing the envelope, trying to overstate the benefits and understate the cost. That throws things out of whack. So we think it's important to have someone in an independent role performing that kind of function.
And what would that look like? Who would do it, and where would that person live? Where would they work from?
Within DHS, they're hiring more people who specialize in this type of work, specialize in trying to come up with good cost estimates for lifecycle costs for programs. So that would be acquisition professionals would have that kind of role. And it's important to have that embedded in every program office.
And again, to be fair to DHS, handling and quantifying lifecycle costs is not a challenge that is exclusive to DHS. That's another issue that agencies struggle with all across government, isn't it?
That's definitely a government-wide challenge. DHS is not unique in that. And I think the good news for DHS is that They clearly understand that they've had problems in the past, and they're starting to take real actions to address those problems.
You stole my last question, David, which is there any silver lining here that we can look to as kind of a positive to leave it on?
Absolutely. Senior leadership at the department has developed a number of plans and actions to address the challenges that we've identified, that the IG has identified, and they've identified as well. And there's a clear commitment to do things better in the future. I mean, obviously, you know, we want to see those plans turned into real concrete action. But so far, the tenor over there and our conversations with them indicate they're off to a promising start.
That's good to hear, and I appreciate you being on to talk about your testimony. We have it linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, as well as more information on that hearing. Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you very much.